This week is Parshas Bereishis. Bereishis is the beginning of the Torah, and we are going to try to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. In a way, this may signify the idea of a generation going and a generation coming again, that even though the last generation tried to teach us the way, we are supposed to take it and go on our own in a higher level, even though that is very hard to do, as the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Beis explains, Imri Shoyni Bnei Malachim, if the first generations are considered like angels, Anu Bnei Anoshim, we are like people, and if the previous generations are considered like people, we are like donkeys, and not like donkeys of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, that was a righteous donkey that would not eat stolen food and would not eat food that was not tithe. We are just regular donkeys. So we see that each generation that we live, each generation that it goes on longer, we are unfortunately more lack in practice and more lack in knowledge of Torah. But nonetheless, the idea is that when we finish the Torah, Vezeis HaBracha, by reading Dvarim, we have to try to restart with great desire, great intent, and great kavana than we are now. As I heard a beautiful example from Larry Reese, La Havdul, when you have a relay race, that you pass the baton from one to the other, and that's the way we get to the finish line. The Torah, La Havdul, is the same thing, that the Mesorah has to be that father gives to a child, and child gives to a grandson, and so forth, and that could be the symbolism that even though we already learned the Torah and we finish Le'ene Kol Yisrael, we finish the whole Torah, we still have to restart, make sure that it continues again from Bereishis. And that could be also the reason why specifically they made it that the Torah should start right after Simchas Torah, that since we know the days of Elul finish by Hoshana Rabbah and by Shmini Atzeres, that's where your appeal process is complete. And by now we have our wayward ways corrected because we did tshuva, we repented since Rosh Chodesh Elul and all days of Tishrei, we were soaking up one mitzvah after the other. So our spiritual level, our level of repentance is at its most high, that now our renewed commitment to learn Torah will be increased. And that is the reason why the rabbis saw fit for us to finish always the Torah during Simchas Torah right after this period. And hinting how to go about to renew your commitment to get to a higher level, that could be what the Beis Yisrael explains is the connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. The last pasuk of Vezeis HaBracha starts L'chol Yad HaChazaka, and by all the strong arm, L'chol HaMoir HaGadol, and all the awesome power, Asher Asa Moshe, Moshe did L'Einei Chol Yisrael, before the eyes of all the Jews, and right afterwards we start Bereishis Bara Elokim, in the beginning Hashem created, as HaShomayim Ves Haaretz, heaven and earth. So the Beis Yisrael explains that after we finish reading the Torah, we have to start learning the Torah with greater intent and greater strength, and to pray to Hashem that He fulfill what David HaMelech asked on Psalms chapter 119, pasuk number 8. There it says, "Gal Einai, unveil my eyes, open up my eyes, Vabito, and I'll be able to see, perceive Niflois wonders, Mitoresecho, from your Torah." That now that we finished reading the Torah and we're starting anew, that Hashem should give us a bracha, that we should be able to see secrets that we haven't seen in the past. Even though we read the Torah every year, and every year we go over the Parsha, yet every year Hashem gives you a bracha that you are able to see things, or listen to chidushim, or perceive nuances that you have not found before. Hashem gives you a bracha that you're able to see really wonders through your Torah. And the Beis Yisrael explains that this pasuk is not only a pasuk asking for a bracha from Hashem to open up your eyes and you should see wonders. This pasuk is actually telling you How do you get to the level that you actually open up your eyes and see wonders in the Torah? By using Gal Eini Vabito Niflois, that you should open your eyes and you should see the wonders of Hashem. That by you taking a look around you and trying to focus on seeing the wonders that Hashem does to you, that is one way that you are going to be able to perceive the wonders inside the Torah. The Beis Yisrael explains how you are able to achieve this idea. He explains that the only way to do it is by making sure that you keep your eyes holy. That if the eyes are open to see everything possible, then it is impossible for you at that situation to receive the yoke of the Torah and not sin. Because the eyes could serve for two different things. The eyes could serve for good and the eyes could serve for bad. Like the Gemara says in Sota Daf Ches Amud Aleph, Ein Yetzer Hara Shoilet, the Yetzer Hara does not rule, El Bema She'ein Av Rois. The Yetzer Hara only works, the evil inclination only works by something that you see. Something that you see, you tend to desire, you tend to want, therefore you tend to act on it. As Rashi brings down on the Parsha of Tzitzis, which is Bamidbar, chapter 15, Pasuk number 39, we say that every day, Veloy sosuru achre levavchem vachre yeneichem, you should not explore after your heart or after your eyes. Rashi brings from Medrash Tanchuma, Ho'ayin roya, the eyes see, valev choymet, and the heart desires, valgif oises averis, and the body does the sin. So all sin seems to imply comes from the sight, as also we could see from this week's Parsha, where the sin of Chava, the sin of Eve, there on chapter 3, Pasuk number 5, the snake comes and tells Chava, Ki yodaya Elokim, Hashem knows, ki b'yom ochelcha mimenu, the day that you're going to eat from the fruit, v'nifkechu einechem, and your eyes will open, v'yisem kelokim, you'll be like a god, yoidei toiv v'ra, that you know good and bad. So you see that once you open your eyes and you see everything, you become knowing good and bad. You aren't able to discern anymore what is good and what is bad. You take in all your environment, and by you taking in your environment, then automatically you are going to be tilted to the bad. And if you take a look right afterwards, on Pasuk number 6, after the snake finished telling her that you're going to open your eyes and you're going to see good and bad, but Teire Ho'isha, the woman saw, Chava saw, Kitoy Vo'etz Lamachal, that the tree is good to eat. So right away, the reason that she sinned is because she saw. So you see that the eyes, like the Gemara says, is the main cause for people to sin. If you see anything around you, you don't protect your eyes, then you are destined to fall. And Choyves Levoves and Shara Prishois, Duties of the Heart, the Gate of Abstinence, chapter number 5. And I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, endeavor to shut your eyes and limit your sense of sight so that you do not look at what you do not need. Abstain from looking that superfluous as you would abstain from something that harms you. Instead, use your sight, your vision, to behold the creations of Creator, to examine them and reflect upon them, and comprehend through them Hashem's wisdom and goodness. Should use the eyes. The way to connect Hashem is try to always use your eyes to see the wonders of Hashem. Through seeing the wonders of Hashem, through seeing the creations of Hashem, that's one way that you are going to get to the service of Hashem. And that's why David HaMelech prayed on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Gal Einai, open up my eyes, Vabito, and I'll be able to see Niflois wonders, Mitoresecha, from your Torah. That through the idea that I'm going to be able to open my eyes and see the wonders of Hashem, then I'll be able to focus my eyes in the Torah, and like that Hashem will be able to open up my eyes for Torah. And that's the connection that the Beis Yisrael explains from the last Pasuk to this Pasuk. The Pasuk says that to all the great awesome that Moshe Rabbeinu did, that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people to fear Hashem. How did he do it? He did it Le'ine Kol Yisrael, that all the Jewish people's eyes should be in Bereishis Bar Elohim, that all the Jewish people's eyes should be used only to see the greatness of Hashem's creation of heaven and earth. Once you see the greatness of Hashem's creation in heaven and earth, then you'll be able to focus on the Torah. Once you focus on the Torah, Hashem gives you a bracha, and He opens up your eyes, and you're able to see even these wonders, you're able to see directly in the Torah. According to the Beis Yisrael, Bereishis Bara Elohim is real connection to Le'enei Kol Yisrael, that if all the Jewish people would look at Bereishis Bara Elohim, at the way Hashem created the world, everybody would be able to use their eyes to see the wonders of Hashem. And like the Duris of the Heart explains, that well, the vehicle to learn Torah, to service of Hashem, is by you first recognizing Hashem's wonders, recognizing Hashem's greatness, and by you focusing your eyes only in seeing that. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to instill fear in the Jewish people by making sure that they look at Bereishis Bara Elohim, at the way that the heavens and earth were created. And that is the connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. Sefer Ahavas Chaim wants to explain the connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. But before we do this connection, we have to actually explain the last Rashi on Vezoisa Brocha. There, on the Pasuk, L'chol Ayad HaChazaka, to all the great hand, L'chol Moir HaGadol, and all the awesome power, Asher Asa Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu did, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all the Jewish people. Rashi says, what is the great thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did in the eyes of the Jewish people? Rashi says, Shenoso liboy lishbor haluchos leineihem. Rashi's bothered the word I. Rashi explains, because Moshe Rabbeinu decided to break the tablets in front of their eyes. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says on Bamidbar chapter 9, Pasuk 17, Ve'eshberom leineihem, and I broke in front of their eyes. And Rashi continues from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin, which says the words of Rish Lakish, V'iskimo adas HaKodesh Baruch Hu ledatoy, and Hashem agreed to what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shenemar, because it's written in Parshas Kisiso, chapter 34, there Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to carve two tablets like the first stones, and Hashem will inscribe the words that were in the first tablet, Asher Shibarto, which you have shattered. Rish Lakish plays with the words and says, Yesher Koyach Shashibarto. Thank you very much for breaking it. The word Asher is from the word praise, so thank you very much that you broke. Everybody is bothered. If I want to tell the greatest accomplishment that Moshe Rabbeinu did, would I list that the greatest accomplishment is that he broke the luchas, that he broke the tablets? Plus, what was the point of Moshe Rabbeinu reminding the Jewish people that they did the golden calf? And is that a way to end the Torah? Can't you find something nice to end the Torah? Normally, when you try to end a book, we try to end with something nice. Isn't there something nice that you could find about the Jewish people that you have to actually say that Moshe Rabbeinu had to break the luchas? What was the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to convey with the message that he got them fair by breaking the luchas? Sefer Ahavas Chaim wants to answer these questions, and also the connection to the end of the Torah with the beginning of the Torah, with a Medrash Rabba, Bereishis Parsha Gimel, Medrash Zion. There it says, Omar Rabavu explains, Melamed, Shehoyu Boirei Olamos Umachrivam, that Hashem created worlds before He created the world, and used to destroy them. Until He decided to build this world. He explains, Omar, he said, Din Hanyanli, these are good to me. Yasin, this one, Loya Hanyanli, are not good to me. In other words, Hashem was building the world. As He was building, He says, this world is not good, so He destroyed it. And this is a little good, so He kept it. Until He built our world, which He said it is a good world. Omar Rav Pinchas explains Tamed Rebavu, that how Rebavu knows that, because it's written in the Pasuk, Vayar Elokim es kol asher osa, that Hashem saw everything He did, V'hineh tov me'orit, and it is very good. Obviously, Din Hanyuli, that this is good, but something else, other world that he built, was not good. Sefer Noam HaMelech explains, what does it mean that Hashem built and says this is not good? How is it possible that Hashem should build something and destroy, saying it's not good? Obviously, if Hashem built it, Hashem will build it the right way. Then how is it possible that he should say it wasn't good the way I built it? The Heilige Rabbi Noam HaMelech explains that Hashem wanted to teach us a Musar Haskel, a lesson, that a person should not think that since I already did something so bad that it's not going to work anymore, what's the use for me continue to try? I'm such a sinner anyways, and therefore I might as well give up and not practice anything, not try to rectify my way, not try to do the right thing. No, he should still always ask Hashem that Hashem should help and try to repent. Since we see that Hashem himself, before he created the proper world, took different worlds and destroyed it, and he didn't give up, and he kept building and destroying until he found a proper one. So to a person, even though he did something wrong, he should say, know what I did is done, I destroyed up till now, but from now on, I will build the good thing, I'll do the right thing. Tantamount in a way that you, up till now, destroyed worlds, now you decide that you are going to make a proper world, and you're going to say that this world is the world that I want. And Sefer Havas Chaim explains that that is exactly what Sefer Aruga Saboisem on Parshas Boy explains is the meaning behind the davening that we do in the brachas of the Shema. There we say in the bracha Yoitzer Oir, Uvetuvoi Mechadesh, and if His goodness He renews, Bechol Yom Tomit, every day, Ma'aseh Bereishis, the works of creation. He explains that in the same way during creation, Hashem built world and destroyed worlds, so too Hashem in His goodness accepts every day tshuva of the people, the same way as He would destroy the world, the previous world of the sinner, and accept the new world of the Baal tshuva, of somebody who repented. That Hashem in His kindness accepts it, renews every day the idea that a person should do tshuva. In a way, the idea is that a baskel, a heavenly voice, comes out every day that a person should do tshuva, and Hashem renews, gives a chance every day for the person to be able to renew that commitment and to build worlds the same way as it was during creation. And he also brings the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dav Dalo de Madalev. There the Gemara says, V'omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, Le'yosu Yisrael eso egel, the Jewish people did not make the golden calf, elo only, litem pischon peh lebal tshuva. In order to give an opening of the mouth, in order to give encouragement for bal tshuva, for people who repent. The Gemara explains later, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that the Jewish people should not have been worthy to make this action. They were in a very lofty level. They were all fearing Hashem. The reason that Hashem made them do this sin, in other words, Hashem allowed the Satan, the evil inclination, to go above and beyond the call of duty, to even make miracles and apparitions of Moshe Rabbeinu's deathbed, in order for the Jewish people to do the golden calf, and by that they will learn that even on a public sin, even on idolatry, if you repent, Hashem will accept your repentance. To teach that in future generations, that people should not give up and always repent regardless of the consequence, that is the reason that Hashem in a way entrapped us to do the golden calf. True, we did it of our own free will, but our will was tilted a little bit, because Hashem wanted to teach us a lesson that even though we made such a huge sin, yet if you repent, repentance will still work. And where did we see this effect? We saw this effect that the Jewish people saw what happened when they did the golden calf. We know that the letters of the luchas, of the tablets, when they saw the golden calf, the letters flew away, as the Gemara brings down and the Medrash brings down. Because the letters flew away, Moshe Rabbeinu was required to break them. And if he broke the luchas, theoretically, the whole Torah was annulled because the tablets and the letters flew away, the whole Torah was annulled. And yet, because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas, they were able to do tshuva, they were able to repent because they saw what happened. And then, through their tshuva, through their repentance, we were able to get the second tablets. So it comes out, according to this, that this is exactly the same thing that Hashem did, that through the breaking of the luchas, which is theoretically like breaking the whole world, through that we receive a new world through tshuva. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to show for the eyes of the Jewish people how strong tshuva is, that even chas v'sholom you lose the whole Torah, and yet if you do not give up, if you still keep it in mind that you are able to repent, you are able to receive again the whole Torah via the second tablets. And that a person could see this lesson, that no matter what he does, he could always repent. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to break in front of their eyes, that they actually had to see exactly what happened with the letters. The letters flew away and the letters came back in the second tablets. And then you see really that Hashem accepted what Moshe Rabbeinu did, because of the fact that the second luchas came back and the letters flew in the second luchas, you see that Hashem accepted the Jewish people's repentance. And that was the intention of Moshe Rabbeinu by breaking the luchas. Comes out that through the breaking of the luchas, which is the destruction of the whole Torah, that itself merited that we should get the Torah through repentance. So Moshe Rabbeinu by that showed that this is the purpose that Hashem destroy the world and recreate the world. By Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the luchas and causing us to do tshuva and telling us that even though you lose the whole Torah through our actions, yet through repentance we are able to achieve again, then a person will be able to see that this is really what it means, Bereishis Bara Elohim, that people will see that he shouldn't give up on doing tshuva. Even Hashem, to teach us this lesson, that tshuva works, Hashem decided first to break the worlds and then create new worlds, even though Hashem knows exactly what's happening. But Hashem, to teach us this lesson, Hashem decided first to break the worlds and then recreate the worlds. So that's the connection. Le'ene Kol Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching that your tshuva is accepted, that we broke the luchas, and the tshuva is accepted. Why? Because Bereishis Bara Elohim, because that was Hashem's design when he created the world. Hashem also destroyed the world and recreated to teach us, like the Rav Noam Elimelech explains, to teach us to do tshuva. So therefore, since we learned to do tshuva, then Moshe Rabbeinu decided to break the luchas to teach us that even though we lose the whole Torah, we are able to recreate it, to get it again through repentance. And that is exactly the message that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to end the Torah with. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that in future generations we are going to sin, yet we may give up and say, anyways, we are so bad, why bother? Therefore, to end the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, Le'ene Kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all the Jewish people, that I broke the luchas. Through breaking the luchas, we did tshuva. And how do you know the tshuva works? Because Bereishis Bara Elohim, because before Hashem built this world, Hashem built other worlds. And therefore, we know that Hashem wanted to teach you that tshuva always works. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's last message is, don't despair, always do tshuva, because tshuva works. The same way when I broke the luchas, you receive a second tablet, that you received again the Torah, the second luchas. So don't give up, your tshuva is always going to be accepted. And that could be the reason why the rabbis saw fit to establish the finishing of the Torah by Simchas Torah right after the days of tshuva, right after Shmini Atzeres. That's when we finish the Torah, which is Le'ene Kol Yisrael, like Rav Noam Elimelech explains, that this is the idea of us doing tshuva. That's the connection also of Bereishis, that Hashem destroyed the world and recreated only for us to learn tshuva. That since now we have a feeling of repentance, we are ingrained in repentance, we are always full of that feeling, that this is a propitious time for us to take in heart and realize the message of tshuva. And if you take a look at the word Bereishis, you'll take a look that in the word Bereishis is also included the letters Asher Shibarto. The word Bereishis comprises of the word Beis, Reish, Aleph, Shin, Yud, Sof. So it has a Reish Aleph and a Shin. The word Asher has Reish Aleph Shin. And Shibarto has Shin Beis Reish Tov, which is also included in the word Bereshis. So Bereshis proves that Asher Shibarto, that what Moshe Rabbeinu did by breaking the Luchas, was the right thing to do, because since Hashem destroyed the worlds and recreated only for us to learn the power of Tshuva, and Moshe Rabbeinu, by breaking the Luchas and receiving the second Luchas after we repented, showed the power of Tshuva. So therefore, in the words Bereshis is written also Asher Shibarto, that you broke, that everything that you broke, thank you for breaking, because that really caused the purpose of Bereshis to become known. The purpose that Hashem destroyed worlds and recreated worlds to become known. And we could say this is Ipshat in the Gemara, in Psachim Daf Nun Dalad Amad Alev. It's an interesting Gemara there. The Gemara says, Shiva Dvarim Nivru Koidum Shnivru Oilam. Seven things were created before the world was created. Veiluhen. And these are those: Torah, Tshuva, repentance, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, which paradise, Gehenem, which is hell, or the place where the people go when they have to purge their sins, the Kisa Kovet, the heavenly throne, Uveis HaMikdosh, and the holy temple, Ushmoy Shal Moshiach, and the name of Moshiach. And the Gemara brings a proof from a pasuk that Tshuva was created before the world was created, but according to this Medrash, we could explain that Hashem, by destroying the worlds and recreating the worlds, Hashem proved to us that Tshuva really came before the world was created, because before the world was created, Hashem destroyed all the worlds. And according to the Noam Elimelech, the only reason for Hashem creating a world that he knows is going to destroy is to teach us the lesson of Tshuva. So therefore, the lesson of Tshuva came before this world was created. According to this Gemara, my Rosh Yeshiva, the Vilna Rav, asks a very hard question. The Medrash, which is I mentioned a couple times on Parsha Chof Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, after the sin of Cain, after Cain killed his brother Hevel, the Medrash says that Adam Arishon found them, and Adam Arishon asked, Manase Bedincha, what happened in your judgment? Omar Loi, Cain told them, Osisi Tshuva, I repented, Venis Pasharti, and Hashem compromised with me. I got the punishment delayed. Ischil Adam Arishon metapech al ponav. When Adam Arishon clapped on his face, he says, Kach hi koicha shel Tshuva, vani lo isi yodeya. Tshuva is so strong, and I did not know. Miyad omad Adam Arishon, right away Adam Arishon got up. But Omar, he says, on Psalm 92, Pasuk 1, Mizmo yishir leyom haShabbos, a song for the Shabbos day. What is the connection between Tshuva and Shabbos? Some people say that he meant the second pasuk, where it says, Toiv lohoidos l'Hashem, it is good to praise Hashem, but lohoidos also means to admit. So admitting to Hashem, that means doing tshuva, repenting. And that's why he sang Mizmor Shirim HaShabbos, because of repentance. Some people say that the word Shabbos also is the word tshuva, as in Devarim chapter 30, Pasuk number 2, there is written, V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha, you should go back into Hashem, V'shamato bekoyo, listen to His voice, which there is the mitzvah of doing tshuva. V'shavto is written, Shin Ve'istav, which is the letter Shabbos. So Shabbos and V'shavto is the same thing, and they explain that since Shabbos you get the Neshom Yisir, you get the extra soul, then it's a propitious time for you to do tshuva, because once you get that extra holiness, you are easier to combat your Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination, and you are able to do tshuva. So therefore, Adam Arishon says, Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos, that I'm singing to a Shabbos, because Shabbos is an easier time for me to repent. So the Vilna Rav asks a question, how is it possible that Adam Arishon didn't know about tshuva? It's written that Adam Arishon knew, according to the Zohar, all positive commandments and no negative commandments. The Zohar, in Daf Chav Zayin, Amud Alef, brings down the Pasuk on Bereshis Beis, Pasuk 15, says, Hashem put Adam and put him in Gan Eden Le'avdo, to work it, Ule Shamra, and to protect it. The Zohar is bothered why does Hashem need to put Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden to work the Gan Eden? Gan Eden is not missing anything. Gan Eden has everything in it. And another question, why you have to protect it? You're protecting it from whom? There's nothing going on in Gan Eden. Nobody is trying to steal the Gan Eden. Whom you protecting it from? Therefore, the Zohar says that La'avda means to do it, to do the positive commandment, to work, to make the positive commandments. U'leshomron, to protect it, means to not do the negative commandments. Hashem gave him all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and he's supposed to do the positive commandments and not do the negative commandments. So according to this, he knew all the positive commandments. So the question is, if he knew all the positive commandments, then he knows that tshuva is one of the mitzvahs. Like I mentioned, the pasuk says, "Veshavto ad Hashem lekecha," you should return to Hashem. Then tshuva is one of the mitzvahs. So if he knows there is one of the mitzvahs, then he knows there is such a thing as tshuva. So why was he surprised when Cain told him that he did tshuva and Hashem compromised with him? And another question that the Vinarov asks is, the Gemara, which is just mentioned, clearly states that tshuva was created before the world was created. Then how is it possible again that Adam HaRishon didn't know about repentance? Since this was even before the world was created, obviously Adam HaRishon had to know about that. The Vinarov answers that Adam HaRishon knew about the concept of repentance. He knew there is a concept of tshuva, but he thought that the concept of tshuva only works for sins that you are able to rectify. Sins that you can't rectify, you can't make it right, he didn't know that he works. For example, if I steal something, then if I could give back what I stole, then it's possible for me to repent because I righted something that is done wrong. I gave back what I stole. It is like it never happened. Therefore, tshuva, repentance at that point would work. But how would tshuva work if I ate something that's prohibited? Once I ate the food that's prohibited, then it's done. I can't throw it up and uneat it. I ate already. Or if I transgress Shabbos, once I transgress Shabbos, that work is done. Maybe at that point, tshuva won't work. But after Adam HaRishon met Cain, and he asked Cain, "What happened to your judgment?" And Cain answered him, "I did tshuva, and tshuva worked." Adam HaRishon started wondering, "Wait a minute, Cain, your action was also an action that you can't take back, you can't make right. You killed a person. That person, your brother Hevel, could never come back. How is it possible then that repentance worked?" So therefore he started wondering, "Oh, kach koicho shel tshuva, tshuva is so great that even things that cannot be rectified, even things that cannot be righted, still tshuva, repentance works, v'ani lo yodati, and yet I did not know." Right away he decided to say, "Mizmor shir leyom haShabbos," a song to the Shabbos day. That's how the Vinarov interprets the idea that Adam HaRishon didn't know that tshuva works, which meaning he knew that tshuva works, but he didn't know the strength of tshuva. I wanted to say that could be, that's why it's written, "Mizmor shir leyom haShabbos." That's why he sang specifically for the Shabbos day, because he didn't know that tshuva works for Shabbos. Shabbos is also one of those things that people transgress and they can't make it up. Once I transgress, the melacha, the work is done. So therefore, he sang "Mizmor shir leyom haShabbos," or in a deeper sense, that Shabbos itself is going to be happy now that Shabbos will have a ratification. Since Adam HaRishon knew that the hardest test for the Jews is to keep Shabbos, so therefore he was worried that Jewish people are going to transgress Shabbos, they won't be able to repent. Therefore, he, as soon as he saw that you could repent even on murder, then he said, "Oh, Mizmor shir leyom haShabbos, now the Shabbos will be happy and we'll be able to sing a song. Shabbos itself will sing now a song for the fact that people are able to repent on Chilul Shabbos, on transgressing Shabbos, and make Shabbos wholesome and holy." According to what we explained from the Heilige Noam Elimelech, Ramaylech, that he explains that the reason that Hashem created the world and destroyed world is in order to teach tshuva, repentance for the Jewish people, I wanted to say that this is the reason why Adam Arishon, after realized how strong tshuva is, decided to sing Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos, a song to Shabbos day. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Zion on Medalev, which is a famous Gemara, says, Omar Rav Katina says, Shis Alfe Shona Hava Alma, 6,000 years the world exists, V'chat Choruv, and 1,000 year the world is destroyed. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'nizgav Hashem Levadoi Bayom Ahu, Hashem will remain alone in that day. And we know from the Pasuk in Psalms 90, Pasuk number 4, there it says, for 1,000 years in your eyes are like a bygone yesterday, Kelef Shoni Benecho, Kiyoim Esmol Kiyavor. So we know that the days of Hashem are 1,000 years. Therefore, when it says that Hashem will be alone that day, means that for 1,000 years he'll be all alone, which means after 6,000 years, the 7,000th, he will be alone. The world will be destroyed. The Gemara continues there. Tanya Kavosad Rav Katina, I have a proof like Rav Katina. Keshem Shashvi Meshametes, Shono Achas Lesheva Shanim, the same way as the sabbatical year causes people to stop working 1 year out of 7 years. In other words, you work for 6 years and the 7th year you're not allowed to work your field. Your field stays empty, fallow without work. Kacha Oila Meshamet Elef Shonim L'Shivas Alofim Shona. So too, the world ceases, the world stops 1,000 years for every 7,000 years. In other words, for 6,000 years, the work functions, and the 7,000th year, there is no functioning, everything is empty, Hashem destroys the world. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'nizgav Hashem Levado Be'amahu, that Hashem will remain alone that day, and a day of Hashem is 1,000 years, as we mentioned, so Hashem will be alone that 1,000th year. And which 1,000th year are we talking about? The Gemara says, V'oimer, and the Pasuk says clearly, Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos, the same Tehillim that we mentioned, a psalm for the Shabbos day. So what does it mean, Shabbos day? Yom Shekulo Shabbos, which means a day that is going to be completely sabbatical. As we mentioned, 1,000th year of hours is 1 day of Hashem. So Hashem will rest on the Shabbos day, which means on the 7,000th year will be a destruction. Mefarshim explain what is going to happen when Hashem recreates the world. Mefarshim answer that Hashem recreates the world in a higher spiritual level. That each time He destroys the world, He creates the world in a higher level. The Maharsha asks a question, what is going to happen to the tzaddikim in the 1,000 years that the world is destroyed? So the Maharsha brings down the Gemara on Sanhedrin, Daf Tzaddik Beis, Amud Beis 92b. The Gemara there asks this exact question. Tzaddikim ma'ay noisim, what did tzaddikim do? The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aser lo hem knafayim, Hashem gives him wings, kneshorim, like eagles, veshotim al pnei ha'mayim, and they are floating on the ocean. The Ramchal explains that during these 1,000 years, Hashem will cause the tzaddikim to go a progressive purification of their body, of their physical, until the last traces of their physicality is removed, and they'll achieve a level of pure spirituality. The Chidush Ge'oinim on the Ein Yaakov says that that's what really means on Bereishis, Pasuk number 2, Varuach Elokim Merachefes al Pnei Amoim, that the Spirit of Hashem, the Divine Presence, was hovering over the water. And he explains that this is the spirit of the Tzaddikim, that they hover over the water before Hashem recreates the world. According to this, we could say that when Adam Rishon says, Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos, he may have meant in that 1,000 years, since now I'm able to do tshuva, and during tshuva, the tzaddikim get purified, the tzaddikim get connected, and they get wings, and they get floating over the ocean, whatever it means, but their physical nature disappears, and they become total spirituality. So therefore, Adam Rishon, as soon as he was able to see that tshuva works, I wanted to say that's why he sang Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, alluding to the day where tzaddikim are going to remain alive, everybody else, the whole world, is going to be destroyed. And that could also be the connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. Because the end of the Torah, we mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas, and we mentioned Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas because of tshuva. And once we do tshuva, then Adam Rishon sings Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos, and coincidentally enough, the word Bereishis is Shabbos Yerei. The letters Bereishis consist, if you mix them, Shabbos Yerei, Fair Shabbos. Either Fair Shabbos, Keep Shabbos, like that you'll be able to tap into tshuva, or you could say that Fair Shabbos, Fair, the Yom HaShabbos, the 7,000th year, like that you'll do tshuva, like Adam Rishon, when he repented, he did the tshuva, and he said, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, so you too, you'll be able to repent, you'll be able to Fair Shabbos, and do tshuva, and merit to be alive during the last 1,000 years. And also, this could be the idea that right after we finish the Torah, we restart the Torah, the same idea that the world is destroyed and recreated, so you should do tshuva, so too by us finishing what we learned and restarting again, we showing that we subscribe to that idea and we are going to repent. And Hashem Yisburach should help, as we start Bereishis again, we should keep in mind the idea of repentance, and we should not let what we went through during Elul and Tishrei, the repentance and the good deeds that we perform, should go in vain. We should continue to tap into them and make sure that they are perpetuated during the year, during the days of Bereishis. And also we should make sure that we keep Shabbos and honor Shabbos, because Adam HaRishon, as soon as he was able to repent, he said, Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos, and obviously this is a very strong thing in order for you to continue in your tshuva process, in your repentance process. And if we do that, if you do good deeds, keep Shabbos and repent, then Hashem Yisburach will help, that he'll send Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mashiach will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, b'imheiru b'yameinu, Amen.